The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Psalms chapter number 78. Psalms chapter number 78. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Father, bless the preaching of the Word this morning. Please use me as your instrument to bring forth these truths and touch our hearts. We pray that we'd block out the cares of this day, and for these next several minutes that you would just allow us to, as an act of worship, listen to your still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and that through your word and by your Holy Spirit we would be drawn to you. Again, if there be one here today that's lost, we pray for the salvation of their soul. Lord, I can do nothing of myself. You are the vine and we are the branches. And so we are desperately in need of being connected to you this morning, to just sensing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's Father's Day. I think we all realize that this morning. And again, if you're a dad here today, we hope that you have a great Father's Day. And I want to preach to really the dads this morning and entitle the message of Father's Testimony. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. I'm going to read these verses again. And as I read through these five verses, you'll notice in the Word of God that mentioning five generations here. Verse 5. "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers," that's the first generation, "that they should make them known to their children," that's the second generation, "that the generation to come," that's the third generation, "might know them, even the children which should be born," that's the fourth generation, "who should arise and declare them to their children," that's the fifth generation. Five generations, and the idea is that the fathers would pass down to the sons, and then the sons to their sons, and so on, the truths in the Word of God. Listen, we cannot realize really the importance of having a father in the home. And we just I think sometimes our culture right now, our culture is reaping what it has sown. Now before I'm going to give you some statistics just in the state of Massachusetts, and let me say this. If you're a single mom, this is not meant any way to demean you or to put you down. We've, through the history of this church, have many single moms who have raised children on their own. If you have a child and you've never been married, this is in no way, is this to demean you? But the point of this is I want us as a church to realize the importance of a dad in the home. And then, as my wife and I were talking about this, I think it was last night or maybe it was this morning, the importance then too, as I mentioned some of these things, you know, we in our church, some of our young people who come, there is no father in the home. And then it becomes important for you and I as men to, in a way, adopt them and to be to them a father that they may not have in the home, in the time that we spend with them at church or on different events and different outings. Because they can still, even though there's not a dad in the home, they can learn from us and they can be encouraged by us and they can see the importance of following God from us. But some time ago, I received this in the mail. It's from 2014. It's entitled Fatherlessness in Massachusetts, the Economic and Social Cost in Our Community. I read this, and it's amazing. Listen to this. 45 years ago, as late as 1970, in the state of Massachusetts, nearly every child born in Massachusetts went home from the hospital with a married mother and father. Fewer than 5% went home and there was not a married mother and a father in the home. By the end, 30 years later, by the end of the century, three quarters of all children were born to a. Today, more than one third, 35% of the children born in the Commonwealth enter the world without a married mother and father. For instance, in Springfield, Massachusetts, 62% of the children today being raised in Springfield, Massachusetts, 62% there's not a father in the home. 62%. In New Bedford, 55%. In Boston, 54%. In Fall River, 54%. In Brockton, 53%. In Lynn, 51%. In Worcester, 49%. In Lowell, 46%. And it's not any one demographic. For instance, in Springfield, the majority of the children in Springfield are Hispanic. I just said 62%. In New Bedford, the majority of the children being raised are white, 55%, single-parent home. In Brockton, the majority of the children are black, 53% in a single-parent home. In Berkshire, Franklin, and Hampshire County, only 46% of the teenagers are growing up in a home where both parents are in that home. It means 54%, over half the teenagers today in our county are growing up in a home where there's only a single parent. And usually, not always, but usually, if it's a single parent home, it's usually the mom that's trying to raise the child. The dad is gone. The poverty levels of never married moms, 51%, 26% in homes where there's been a divorce. Listen to this. 70% of children in fatherless families have fathers who do not pay child support. And when they do pay child support, the average support level in 2011 from a father to a mother was $2,500 per year. It's incredible. The high school dropout, twice as high in a single family home. 54% of all inmates that are in prison, single parent home. In fact, it's high in Massachusetts, it's 54%. Nationally, it's 51%. And this really blew me away. In Springfield, 78% of the children in Springfield are receiving food stamps, cash welfare, or SSI. 78%. In many of those homes, there's no dad in the home. Listen, fellas, you cannot underestimate the importance of you being in the home and being there to mentor your children. When the psalmist wrote this psalm, verses 1 through 8 are really kind of like a prefix to the rest of the psalm. And I don't want this to be a negative type of message. I want it to be an encouragement for you and I as men, as fathers, and as grandfathers, in any role that we can have in a young man's life. Even some of you men who are single, you may have never had a child or had that opportunity, But you too can have a part in helping a young man and mentoring a young man. Don't ever forget that. And so the writer of the Psalms, he mentions some things here that we're going to look at. But and we don't have time this morning to read the balance of the Psalm, verses 9 down through the end. But I want to point some things out. And these are negative things, and then we want to end up on a positive note. Because look at verse 8 again. He said that they would not be as their fathers, who were a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. In fact, he's saying, listen, don't be like that former generation that didn't follow the Lord, that didn't do things right. And then he reminds them of some things. He said to them in verse 10, that group, they didn't keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law. Don't be like that, he said. And in verse 11, he said, and they forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. You know, it's very easy. I can think right now, I could rattle off a list in my 25 years of pastoring of men who were fathers that sat in this church and even some served the Lord to some extent or another, but they have refused to any longer to walk in God's Word. They've not kept the law. They forgot how good God is and how great God is and how merciful and how gracious God is, and they've gone off into another direction. The psalmist said in verse 12, marvelous, marvelous things did He in their sight. And he goes on and he reminds them, listen, this is the group that God, in verse 13, He divided the sea. He brought them from bondage to freedom. Verse 15, or in verse 14, he led them with a cloud by day and a light of fire by night. He freed them. He led them. In verse 15, He clave the rocks in the wilderness. In verse 16, He brought forth streams out of the rocks. And what was the result? As good as God was to them, verse 17, they sinned yet more against Him by provoking Him in the wilderness. They tempted God in verse 18. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Oh, sure. God can provide us with this manna, and God can provide us with this quail. But it's manna and quail and manna and quail. Can't God do any better than that? How dare we ever say, can't God do any better? How dare we ever say that God has been so good to us, so gracious to us? How dare we ever say that? He smote the rock in verse 20 and water came out. At the end of verse 20, can He provide the flesh for the people? Verse 22, because they believed not in God, they trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna unto them. Verse 29, so they did eat and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire. And were they satisfied? No, they weren't satisfied. They were a griping and complaining people. Verse 32, for all this they sinned still, and they believed not for His wondrous works. As good as God had been to them, they still continued to sin. Verse 37, their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, He forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Why, God is so good. You know, you and I, we so often, we get right with God, we get away from God. We get right with God, we get away from God. We get right with God, we get away from God. And each and every time we get away with God, away from God, and then we're going to get right with God, God is so gracious and God is so merciful that He really says, all right, let's get back up and let's move forward from this point here. And God did that with them again and again and again, and yet they still sinned against Him. And why does God do that? Ethan actually mentioned it, I think, in Sunday school, verse 39. For He remembered that they were but flesh, and that's all we are. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. That's all we are. We're just flesh. We are truly just dust. And they continued, verse 40, they provoked Him, and they provoked Him. Yet they turned their back and they tempted God. They remembered, verse 42, not His hand. And how in verse 43 He had wrought the signs in Egypt and And you remember how God had delivered them with the 10 plagues. Verse 56, yet they tempted and they provoked the Most High God, and they kept not His testimonies. They kept not His testimonies. So now go back to verses 1 through 8. So that's what they did wrong, and God says, don't be like them. And so I've got given you these 4 points today when we talk about testimonies. Testimonies are an evidence, they're a witness. The Bible says the 2 tables of stone that the 10 commandments were on, they were a visible testimony and a witness to God, to His covenant. Now you and I, the Bible says, we are lively stones. Just as the 10 commandments were on those 2 stones, and the 10 commandments were graven on those stones, listen, the law of God ought to be graven on our lives. Because that's what a testimony is. It's a witness. It's a witness. And it came to pass, Exodus 34, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Moses was aglow because of the presence of God. First Thessalonians, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. We all need a testimony. So quickly, on the back of your handout this morning, every one of us men, we need a testimony of truth. Verses 1 through 3, which I've already read. Look at verse 3. Speaking of the Word of God, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. In other words, we open our mouths. We share the truths of God's Word. Every one of us, we need a testimony. Our children need to look to us as men and as leaders and know that our testimony is one in which the truth of God's Word has an impact on our lives, and we live and we follow and we trust in God's Word. We speak the truth in love. And so that all may grow up, but our children, our families may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. See, that's the importance of a dad. A man who stands for the truth of God's Word. A man who seeks the Lord. A man who knows the Word of God and shares the Word of God, because it's the foundation of his life. And it's good to know it. It's good to have learned it. It's good to understand it. It's truth. But it's got to be transmitted. It's got to be shared from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And listen, church ought not to be, the assembling together of the church ought not to be the only place where the Word of God is transmitted from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whenever we can, we need to transmit that truth. Deuteronomy 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's incumbent upon us to take these truths, the Word of God, the things of God, as it said in verses 5 and 6, and to transmit them from generation to generation to generation. The other day, my grandson was here. We were doing some things, and we went out and we got some McDonald's. And boy, when you ask one of your grandkids, or even your kids, I guess, when you say to them, you don't have any lunch, would you like for Grandpa to go to McDonald's and buy you some lunch? It doesn't take long for them to say yes. And we got back with the cheeseburger and the French fries and the chocolate milk, and he got himself set at the table, and he was ready. It might as well have been a Thanksgiving meal. I said, would you like to pray? You know, Gideon, yeah, I like to pray. So he prayed, and we had 3 generations. Adam, me, and Gideon. What a blessing that was. It's just a time to sit. Now you might think, well, that's not much. Well, listen, I don't know about you. You ought to, but we pray at every meal. you know, I've told you when my kids were little, when we'd go to McDonald's and we'd drive through, I'd say, all right, Dad's going to pray. And I'd pray, and I'd keep one eye, you know, I'd be driving, and I'd have one eye closed and one eye open. They probably thought it was some great miracle when they were little. I don't know. Well, how could he drive with his eyes closed? But those are just simple truths. Sometimes we think, well, all the things that we transmit have to be these huge lessons in life. These are just the basics of life. When you go to a restaurant, are you too ashamed to bow your head with your family and ask the blessing on the food? These are simple truths that we just teach. That's what the writer of Deuteronomy, Moses, meant when he said to transmit these testimonies. When we started the service, I said, there is no better place for a dad to be on Father's Day morning than in the house of God. Because dads, your children, the importance to God's house and God's people and ministry, they know how important it is to you. They know. If they realize it's not very important to you, it's not eventually, it may be important to them now, but eventually it's not going to be important to them. They're going to say, well, it's not important to Dad. And I'm not saying it's necessarily this way in church, but in many churches, it's always been incumbent on, and we have a good group of men in our church, but in many churches, there are not a good group of men. There are more women, and it's not right. It's unfortunate that in many homes, because the men of those homes have not understood their responsibility, and they said to their wives, all right, honey, it's okay for you to go to church and go ahead and you take the kids, but I'll guarantee if you did some research on it, you would find that many of those children, once they reached a certain age, while their moms remained faithful, they realized their dads weren't faithful, and if dad's not faithful, and if dad's the leader of the home, then they're not going to be faithful either. That's how it works. Even that, you know, and we really should have, and I hope you're praying for those poor folks down in Charleston, but I saw the testimony of the one young man whose mom was shot and killed in that horrible tragedy. And I don't remember everything that he said, but it had been so instilled in him, the importance of... in fact, I didn't hear the whole thing, but I did hear that the gunman almost walked out. He felt so... It's just mind-boggling, the evil there. But he felt so accepted and loved by them that he almost changed his mind. That's what he said. We all wish that he had, amen? But the young man looked like he was in his late teens. He just said, I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to hate him for what he's done. I am just, because he had been taught this. I'm going to allow the love of Christ, and I may not be getting it exactly right, but the love is going to outweigh the evil. Those are things we have to teach our kids. Those are the things that have to be transmitted. That's a testimony. And men aren't always greatest with what they say. You know, many men are more quiet. You know, sometimes we complain about our wives because they talk too much. But, you know, I've never heard a man complain that his wife talks too much when his wife is praising him. Amen? But sometimes men were kind of quiet. And sometimes we've got to work at that. But it's important. It's important to our families, important to our culture. So it's a testimony transmitted. I don't want to be like in the book of Psalms. I don't want to be, well, don't be like your fathers that did this and like this and like this. We want to be those who had a testimony, who transmitted that testimony. And then had a testimony of trust in verse 7, that they may set their hope in God. That, listen, if our children see that we set our hope in God, then they'll set their hope in God. If our grandchildren see that we set our hope in God, then they'll set their hope in God. If our great-grandchildren see that we set our hope in God, then they'll set their hope in God. But if they don't see that in us, then we're lacking. Blessed is the man that maketh his Lord his trust. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her root by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let them see a testimony that that you believe in the truth of God's Word, that you transmit that truth, and they see in your life that you're a man who trusts God. And then lastly, and I apologize for the brevity, but I think you all understand that we've got to go. The testimony of time. And what I meant by that, look again at verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious, a generation that did not set their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That was the wrong crowd. But you and I, over time, let's have a testimony that lasts over time, day in and day out, and day in and day out. Many years ago, my good friend Jim Lake preached a message. I don't even remember what he preached on, but he's a little older than I am, 7 or 8 years older than I am. And he said in that message, he said, I'm now entering the last lap of my ministry. You know, a four-lap race. He finished what he thought in his mind as an illustration, the third lap. And he's entering the fourth lap. He says, I don't want to be disqualified in the fourth lap. I want to run right to the end, right to the finish line. Right to either at my time of God calls me home or he steps out of the ministry. And Brother Jimmy's going through all kinds of, more struggles now, and most of them are physical and in his family, than ever before. It hasn't gotten easier for him. It's gotten more difficult for him. And you know, often the longer we're at it, if you run a race, the last lap is the hardest. You're tired. You wear down. You're wore out. You've given it your all. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much that you know that your labor is not in vain, press toward the mark. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press on, press on, press on, press on, press on. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be here this morning. Thank you for these men. Many of them have been here as long as, or almost as long as, you've allowed me to pastor this church. Thank you for their faithfulness. But help us to remember, over time, the race doesn't get easier. In many ways, the race gets more difficult. But your grace is sufficient. It is more than sufficient. So help us to depend upon your grace, to be the examples to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, to the young men and young women in this church whose dads are not present in their home, to be a help to moms raising their children without a dad in the home. Lord, just use us. Thank you for the privilege that you've given us, the position that you've given us. Help us not to take it lightly. If there be one here today that has never received Christ, I pray that they would understand this morning that without Christ there is no hope, that they're a sinner on their way to hell, and that today that they can be gloriously saved. They can call upon Jesus and trust Him as their Savior. And so this morning, with our heads bowed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but the Spirit of God is speaking to my heart, and I'd like to call upon the Lord, or I've already just called upon Christ to be my Savior. I admit to Him I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died and paid for my sin, and by faith I put my trust in Him. If that's you this morning, and you've called upon Him, just as I've said, in your own words, would you do this? Would you just slip up your hand and say, Preacher, I did that this morning. I'd never done that, and I called upon Jesus to be my Savior. You can put your hand down. I've never done that, but today I've done that. Today I called upon Him. Dads, accept the challenge. Accept the challenge and press on and press on and press on. Spend some time, dads, with the Lord. Whether you want to come to the altar or stay at your seat, that's up to you. Spend some time in just asking God for strength to keep the course, to speak the truth in love, to be the man of the house that God has called you to be, to not only be a loving father, but a loving husband. Help us, Lord, not to provoke our children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Bless the invitation. That's our word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we pray for Hannah. Pray that you'd watch over her in a very real and powerful and special way. We pray, Lord, that you would give her traveling mercies to Papua New Guinea. That as she arrives there, that you would use her in a very great and powerful way. Be a help to the missionaries, Matt and Becky Allen. We pray that your protective hand would be upon her. Just watch over her, protect her, empower her. And use her, Lord, in any way that you've seen fit. The Apostle John wrote, "There is no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And there is no greater Father's Day present than to see that a man's children walk in truth." So I thank you for Hannah's testimony. I thank you for her desire to go. For we ask it in Jesus' name and by the power of His precious blood.
Pastor, I just want to say from my youth leader to my pastor, you've been such a great role model and example to how a Christian should be and the walk that we should have. And I just thank you for all that you do for us as a church and for our family.
Thanks for your service and all the things you've done for us and the prayers you've prayed for us. And here's to another 25.
Thank you, Pastor.
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 Thank you for your dedication.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor, for what you have done to the church, and you have made a very good improvement.
Hi! Thank you, Pastor, for being our pastor and preaching us the Word of God.
Thank you, Pastor, for all that you do, for preaching the Word of God to letting people come closer to God with your word.
Thank you, Pastor, for all that you do and for loving us enough to be here for this long.
Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor, for preaching at Mount Greylock Baptist Church.
Hey, Pastor, thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Pastor.
And for the very short time, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for the 25 years of service. And I just thank you for all you've done in our lives. And God bless you and hope you give us another 25.
Thanks for being awesome.
Pastor, just wanted to thank you for all your service and for your messages, Lord. And we just want to thank you.
Pastor, we just thank you for all the years that you've been here. We're thankful for your faithfulness and your faithfulness to the Word and to your people. And I'm really grateful for that. And I thank you for all that you do.
And your friendship.
Thank you. Thank you for being our pastor, and thank you for being my pastor, and thank you for being a friend. You're the best.
Thank you, Pastor, for all your help.
Thank you, Pastor, for your dedication and love for the Lord.
We want to thank you for what you've done for us over the years, and hope you're around for another 25.
Hi, Pastor. I just want to thank you for your service, your dedicated service to the Lord. It really shows in your life and in your family's life.
Thank you, Pastor, for being the shepherd of the flock and being my friend.
I want to thank you, Pastor, for not going to Manchester, Vermont, because we need you here.
Thank you, Pastor, for being our pastor for the past 14 years, for helping our family to grow in the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Pastor, also, yes, for being our pastor, our friend, and just being there, not only as our pastor, but as a personal friend to our family through all these years. We thank you and for your continued service.
Pastor, I just want to thank you very much for your service and your love for all of us, and happy anniversary.
Thank you, Pastor, for the 25 years of service with the church, and thank you for all the brothers and sisters that come to the church.
Thank you, Pastor, for changing my life for the better. How's that?
Thank you for being a good pastor. Glad we got this place to go to.
Thank you, Pastor, for being our pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, Pastor, for being my pastor all the time I've been up here.
Thanks, Pastor, just for everything you've done.
Thank you, Pastor, for telling me about the ways of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank you for giving me such a great book to study from.
And thank you.
Thank you for being strongly rooted in the Word and preaching a message to you.
Thank you, Pastor, for all your dedication and time you've given us. We really love you.
Thank you for all your help. And thank you, Pastor Eric, for all the hard work that you put into this church and keeping us true to the Word of God and preaching the Word of God every week. Thank you.
Pastor, I just want to thank you for everything and all the years of being a member of this church and enjoying your services and all the love and blessings you bring us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for having these doors open faithfully. Thank you for the preaching and the teachings of the Word of God
and all your hard work, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for your continued faithful service.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Dad.
Hey, Dad. Congratulations on 25 years as pastor, and thank you for everything you've done for me and our family over the last 25.
Thank you, Dad.
Hi, Dad. Congratulations on 25 years. I just wanted to say thanks for all the time that you invested in me as a pastor and as a dad. Thanks for everything that you've done. I love you.
Wow, 25 years. Congratulations, Dad. Some pretty great and impressive things happened to you 25 years ago. You got your first conversion van, your favorite son was born, you became pastor of Mount Greylock Baptist Church. That's pretty awesome. Thank you for always being there, giving me the great pastoral and fatherly advice. And now to commemorate your next 25 years, I am going to present to you your favorite grandchild.
Dad, thank you for 25 years as our pastor. Thank you for all the opportunities you've given me to be involved in the ministry over the years. It's been a privilege to serve with you. And thank you for being such a good dad.
Thank you for your example of faithfulness and dedication.
Thank you, Grandpa.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.